I decided to throw an interview in the mix, and I've got to be brutally honest, this interview has sat in my hard drive for months. During the recording, my head just was not in the game. I was plagued by self-doubt. And I've edited some of the bits out where, you know, my brain just farted and I couldn't think. But I couldn't go back to this because I felt in the recording of it, I was shit. And then, you know, my microphone broke. My little Rode SmartLav broke, so I couldn't record on the beach. And I was thinking, oh, I'll just record something in the studio. And then I remembered that I'd recorded this interview with Ange Ponsford, who's a friend of mine. She used to run Dotty Media. She's an incredible Facebook ads guru. She's at guru stage these days. And so she's a friend of mine, and I just didn't have my head together. So when I thought about producing this app, I just kept on procrastinating on it because of the way that I'd felt during the recording. But often when we go back to something that we've created, in hindsight, it's not that bad. So I just decided to get the fuck over myself because this interview actually is really powerful. Angela was in a partnership. She started out as a sole trader doing Facebook ads and kind of, you know, social media stuff. And then she brought in a partner who's a friend of mine, Miranda, and they ran Dotty together for a while. And then she made a really huge move and decided to do Facebook ads as a employee of a company in the States. And so that's led her on a completely different tangent. And now Miranda and Ange are working separately. And I just was really fascinated to dive into the journey that she's been on, because so often we think that it needs to look a certain way and it doesn't. It just needs to work for you. And this is a real story of Ange honoring herself, the way she likes to work, not questioning whether she's this or in this box or in that box, just really doing things from a place that feels good. So I had to get over my own self-doubt, sit down and edit it, and it's actually a fucking great interview. So let me introduce you to the one and only Ange Ponsford. Welcome to Carlosophies. I'm Carly Nimmo, and to be honest, I'm still figuring out this thing called life. This podcast has been a training ground for me to learn to show up and speak up. It's grown and changed as I've grown and changed. And these days, I want to explore what happens when you let the lid off. When you stop living a life of expectation and start living a life in brilliant technicolor. Each week, I'll show up and peel back another layer of the stories that make up the fabric of who I am. And occasionally, I'll dive deep with a guest into a topic that's piqued my curiosity. So show up and allow Carlosophies to speak to you in any way you need it to.
So I started Dotty Media literally on my 40th birthday. I had the idea. I'd been dabbling in social media, helping people out, and then somebody had said to me, well, you should just have your own business doing that because you're already helping people. So that was on my 40th birthday, which was August 2013. So ran Dotty on my own for probably about 8 months. In that time, started B-School with Marie Forleo, where I've met you and lots of other local lovely B-Schoolers. And Miranda was doing B-School as well. Now, I already knew Miranda because I played roller derby with her. And she had her own business doing macrame craft stuff. So, but she was also a bit of a digital marketing whiz as well. She had a degree in that, in media. And I felt that I was just kind of lacking something in Dotty. I had the social media side down, but the general marketing stuff, I just didn't really feel that I was strong enough in that area. So I asked Miranda if she wanted to come in and partner with me in Dory. So about 8 months after I'd started Dory, she came on board as my partner. And then we kind of grew it from there. And so it was amazing, really.
So interesting, right? So you'd been at it alone for about 8 months. What was it that you, was it that you just didn't feel like you had the full picture that you wanted to get the partner on?
Yeah. And I think, you know, part of that is that whole self-confidence and imposter syndrome. So, you know, even though I think, you know, I really did have the knowledge there, I convinced myself that I didn't have that breadth of marketing knowledge, because obviously nobody just runs Facebook ads. Like, they don't operate out of a silo. They're part of the whole marketing picture. And I just kind of convinced myself that I wasn't good enough to give people that whole marketing picture. But with Miranda on board, it gave me the confidence that, oh, well, there's the two of us and she's got, you know, this media background and has worked kind of in media and digital marketing. And with my knowledge in the Facebook ads, and we were a great team, and that did work. And I think that also gave me that confidence. You know, it's that, I don't know, there's this new movie out, the Amy, what's her name? There's
Amy
movie
Schumer.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amy Schumer. And it's like, you know, she gets hit on the head and she's convinced she's fat and whatever. And she gets hit on the head and then she has this whole level of self-confidence when actually it was always in there to begin with. It was like that.
Yeah, I Feel Pretty. That's the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your work, so you've brought a partner in. Let's just talk, maybe we just talk a little bit about the partnership thing, because I've been in a partnership and I'm in one at the moment too, right, with Lisa, but
you are. Yeah.
But it's not like it is an official partnership, but it's not an official partnership, if you know what I mean. So we are working together, but we're running things separately. So do you mind exploring a bit about the partnership and how that looked and what, you know, what the challenges were?
Mm. So she came in as a partner, but we actually very quickly transitioned the business, Dory, over from sole trader to an actual proprietary limited. We didn't actually do it as a partnership. The main reason, I guess, for that being is I already had assets, like, you know, a house, and things like that, whereas Miranda didn't have any assets. And so in a partnership, we were both equally liable if anybody did happen to sue us or something like that. So we got, you know, obviously the right advice, and we became a proprietary limited, because then we were able to, my assets were more protected in that setup. So that's always something to think about for anybody that is considering a partnership, is legally, how are you going to set that up, and looking at asset protection and stuff like that. In terms of the actual dynamics of the partnership, we worked great together. And I think the key thing is just always being open and honest with each other, which is why, you know, we'll get to that we're no longer working with Dory together. But even that has been, you know, we're still mates.
Yeah.
We're still
not
friends.
Not an unpleasant process where there's
no
shit being flung around and, you know,
exactly.
the hideous breakup of a partnership, which is a lot of people's experience, you know.
Like it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people I've spoken to, like, they're a surprise, you know, when we said we were first going in together, people are like, oh, you know, you had bad partnerships, and then, you know, what if one of you wants to leave? And it's just really just being honest about how we can obviously talk about how it ended further into this chat, but how we just run the whole business, and just being honest with each other. It's really, and being like a decent human. I think people forget what it's like to be a decent human being and when, especially when money gets involved.
Yeah, totally. So in the beginning, did you have like a vision for Dory, or was it just when you first started, was it just you kind of following your nose and you were like, oh yeah, I'm good at this stuff, I'll see where that goes? Was there a point where you had a bigger vision?
There was a point. That's always something that I struggled with, is the strategic vision. That's something I've been historically bad at. And yeah, we on a couple of occasions we had sat down, and when we did actually do proper planning and vision planning, the year, interestingly enough, the year after we did that seriously, we had like our biggest year. Yeah. So that stuff works, man. And Miranda was really good at pushing me into making decisions around stuff like that. She was a real driver in terms of putting processes in place and systems and things like that. She was really good, you know, where I'd be having these crazy ideas and, oh, let's do this and let's do that. And which was good because we needed that again to kind of have some kind of vision and to get from where we were to kind of where we wanted to be. But I think that was partly as well, part of our downfall was that I wasn't that good at the strategic vision planning of where I could see Dottie being. And she had some strengths in that area, but wasn't that great at it either. So I think part
of
that.
So the visionary was missing.
Yeah, that, you know, I was, you know, I'm great at like, you know, oh, you know, the ads and seeing where things are going wrong and seeing how we can get, you know, people to ideas for how we can like grow things and stuff like that. But like thinking 5 years into the future, I find that really challenging, really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. So with the Miranda situation, or the situation, I don't know if it's a situation, but you know, with the partnership, was there, or with the, yeah, it was a partnership, just not a legal partnership. Had you discussed things like what would happen if you left and all that kind of stuff prior to going in?
I'm trying to, good question. Trying to recall. I don't know that we specifically did do it, but I think the fact that we'd organized it as a, the way that we legally organized it as a proprietary limited meant that, you know, we were 50-50 in there. So, you know, we both had director, you know, we were both directors of the business and then also both employees of the business. And how we kind of worked it, that's another, you know, something, I mean, it's a testament, I guess, to both of our nature that things didn't go pear-shaped, because we never specifically sat down and said, oh, you know, you're going to get paid this much and you're going to get paid this much. We were just really honest with each other and like, okay, well, I've got 5 clients and I'm doing this. And she's like, well, you know, I've got 2 clients, but I'm also doing all this stuff. So yeah, probably not the best way to run a business, but it worked for us because we're both decent human beings.
Classic, yeah.
So no, we obviously talked about it at the end, and we came to a mutual agreement on that. And, you know, I'm happy to talk about, you know, that stuff as well.
Yeah. So, you know, cause your business was a lot in the early days. It was really a lot about live events and stuff, wasn't it? Like you used to do a lot of local training and then a lot of traveling.
Yep. So initially, obviously I was running people's ads. So like, doing the ads management. And then we're like, of course, like, you know, you do B-School and you're like, yes, I'm going to have an online course. So, you know, we created an Instagram course, and which was quite forward thinking, actually. No, there wasn't many Instagram courses around. That was 2014 or 2015. So we created this course, and then, you know, we obviously did the launch, and like was a lot less than, you know, what we were expecting. You know, you like expect these 6-figure launches. And it wasn't that at all. So we did the course and we're like, okay, well, the course isn't going to take over, you know, our income. We're not going to have this, you know, passive income dream. But we started doing the live events as well. And like, I love live events. Like, I love doing them. Like, that's, I'm happy zone. Like, I love teaching people and getting that direct feedback from people. They're fun. They weren't huge money makers, but I really enjoy doing them, and it lets you connect with people and find out, you know, what are they struggling with. And it made our online trainings better. And then also with that, we were doing the ads management. And then at the end of the year that we'd done the Instagram course, that's when we did the real planning day, and we sat down and we actually used a template. I don't know if you know Fizzle.co. They have this amazing blog post, which is about how to do an annual review. Anyway, we used the template from that and we did it, and we realized that the ads management was the way to be able to generate more revenue into the business. So we started focusing more on that. Yeah. So, you know, it's amazing what you can do when you actually review your sales figures and how many clients you've got. So, you know, we did put a plan in place of, you know, how many clients we needed, you know, what to charge a month. Also, I think was one of our kind of not downfalls as a business, but we were chronically undercharged people, really chronically undercharged in terms of what they were getting, you know, the knowledge they were getting. And, you know, that's something I've come to value my own knowledge a whole lot more over the past year that I've kind of been in my new role as to, hey, the value that I can give to a business in terms of them growing their revenue. It's not just about running, managing someone's Facebook ads. So I think, you know, we that was part of our challenge, which caused us not to make. And it's not all about making money, but, you know, it's a business.
But so we need to make money. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it needs to. I, while you were talking just then, I had this image of like being in, like it feels to me like you were in a goldfish in a fishbowl, not knowing what was outside of that fishbowl at that time, you know. Yep. So you were in the fishbowl and there were other fish in that fishbowl that were suited to the same kind of, you know, climate or whatever. Yep. But you had no idea what was outside of that fishbowl. So in that fishbowl were people who were probably not willing to invest really hugely in their businesses, couldn't necessarily see the value in, you know, didn't have the vision to spend big amounts of money investing in their business's growth. And, yeah. And so you were probably playing not small time. There's a role for that for sure too, right? Mm, totally. And that was where you were. That was the fishbowl that you were in. So talk to me about the leap out of that fishbowl.
Miranda got pregnant in, what year are we in? 2018. 2016. So she was due to have Soph in September 2016. So there was a period there, you know, like where I was, it was kind of back to me again. So she was obviously taking time off. She didn't take heaps of time off. You know, she was still doing stuff, but was back to the day-to-day running of me doing most of the stuff. And it was at that point that I realized that I really, really didn't enjoy running the business. I didn't actually enjoy doing everything. I love doing the Facebook ads. Like that's, woo, happy zone. But dealing with, you know, getting the new clients and dealing with all the, you know, just the client stuff. I'm happy to deal with the client, but just everything that goes around with running a business, I kind of realized that I wasn't that happy doing that. Also, interestingly,
the bookkeeping, the chasing the money,
all that stuff. Negotiating new contracts with clients. I just didn't enjoy it. Also, at that point, so at this same time, that was when I was speaking at ProBlogger. So, funnily enough, like I spoke at ProBlogger and I actually had massive imposter syndrome after ProBlogger.
After?
I don't know. After.
Really? What? We spoke at the same ProBlogger.
That was 2016, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
After that, I had huge imposter syndrome after it. And I think it really put me into a bit of a spiral.
So what was that about? Talk to me about that.
I don't know. Like, I think it was just like it went great and I loved it and I got great feedback.
Yeah, it was amazing. You were amazing.
Yeah, thank you. It was so good. But afterwards, I don't know what it was. I just it really freaked me out. For some reason.
Because you'd done so well and because you were getting recognition?
I was getting recognition. Then I was getting lots of people. And, you know, at the same time, I was kind of doing it all on my own as well. And it was I think it was just all got overwhelming for me. It got a bit too much. And it kind of made me take a bit of a step back. And then also at that same time, you've heard of the ASK method from Ryan Levesque. I'd gone through that and I'd done it through Keith Kranz's affiliate link. And so Keith Kranz, you know, and Ralph have Dominate Web Media. Anyway, so I was doing that, had done that as well. And in the September that I think they put out, September or October, so not long after ProBlogger, and while Miranda was still kind of on maternity leave, they put a post up in their private Facebook group saying, we're looking for a Facebook ads ninja. Send us a 7-minute video and explain who you are and what your favorite food is and blah, blah, blah. So, and I was just like, I thought about it for a couple of days and I was like, you know what? I'm going to send a video in. I'm going to do it. So I did it, told them, you know, my favorite food was sauerkraut, showed them a jar of the sauerkraut, talked to them, you know, for what they asked, showed them and some of the, you know, the ad accounts and the results that I'd got for them. And
did you have imposter syndrome then?
I did a bit. And I think that was part of it though, as well, though. I was like, I don't know that I want to be running my own business. And I like working in a team. I've always liked working in a team. And I think that's partly, you know, part of the reason that I asked Miranda to come on board. Like I don't like working on my own. I like working with other people and feeding off other people. I'm quite happy sitting here on my own, like at home and getting on with my jam, but knowing that I've got other people I can feed stuff off. I don't need to be sitting next to people.
That creative energy of having a group of people on the same path with the same, not really agenda, but the same vision and
totally. And obviously I respected, you know, Ralph and Keith, you know, I've been following them for years and, you know, respected them as being like some, you know, industry leaders in the whole Facebook ad zone. So I sent off the video and then Ralph got back to me, you know, within a week and jumped on a call with him and then they offered me a job with them.
So that must have been a huge decision to make then, right? Because you are like, there would be, I imagine, because you're a decent human being, there would be part of you that would be like, oh my God, what an amazing opportunity. Oh my God, but I have this loyalty to Miranda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess, and like, you know, straight up, it wasn't like a full-time position. It's like a contractor and kind of, you know, part-time initially. So obviously, like, I was like ecstatic when they told me, but I was like, obviously, I need to tell Miranda. So told Miranda and she was over the moon for me because she's a decent human being too. And she's like, this is an amazing opportunity for you. You know, you should take it. And at that point, it was still like, hey, that doesn't mean that I'm not doing Dory. Like, I can do both. Totally. Like, I'll do both. She's like, yep, perfect. And, you know, it was seen as a positive for Dory, like that, you know, I'm going to be working with these guys and working and, you know, playing up, you know, up leveling massively
new
the type
clients,
of client that I'm dealing with.
Budgets.
Yep. And then also, you know, then able to kind of translate that into Dory, which did happen, of course. But then also what happened was then I realized I'm doing these clients here and then I'm coming to these clients that are paying me, that were not even that they're paying me. I'm charging them a certain amount. And I'm worth more than that. And, you know, that it wasn't that the clients were doing
anything
wrong
with the clients. It was the fact that that's who you had attracted as Ange from Dotty. And now you had seen your potential and your earning potential and how much knowledge you actually had because you were in a bigger fish pond then, right? So you're looking around and you're like, whoa, there's actually like sharks and whales and shit in here. And here I was thinking I'm a fucking goldfish.
Yep. Totally. So that was end of 2016. So that all
was started. That when we had that dream big weekend?
No, that was.
Was that the
six
year
months after that?
Right.
That was about 6 months after. So Miranda had kind of come back from maternity leave. So now we're like kind of like beginning of 2017. I was doing, you know, doing Dory and doing Dominate as they were. We're now Tier 11. The agency is now Tier 11. But at that time, it was Dominate Web Media. So working mainly with Ralph and the other account managers, realizing, oh, I do know lots. And I'm pretty knowledgeable and handy in Facebook ads compared to these other like bigger fishies as well. And then they gave me the opportunity to go out. They were running a certification event out in Austin where they were getting on new training people up to be account managers, similar to what we do in the agency. So they asked if I wanted to go out to that. So they, you know, flew me out there to Austin. That was like, total last minute thing. So I got to go out and spend a week out in Austin on the team, you know, helping out these people that they're training to be account managers. So that was amazing. And then about a month after that, I already had a ticket to go out to Traffic and Conversion in San Diego, Traffic and Conversion Summit. And Miranda was coming with me to that as well. So went out to that about a month later and same thing. It was like next level for me. Like they were doing, Keith and Ralph were doing like an event the day before Traffic and Conversion. So I was helping them out with that. You know, when I was there, I was like, you know, part of that team and getting, you know, introduced to different people and things like that. So just that realization of that potential that there was working with them or for them, with them, for them. So that's, I think that was at that time my mind was beginning to shift. Like, okay, really, where do I want, what do I want to be doing? do I want to continue with Dory? So it was the beginning of the year that I was already thinking that. Do I want to be continuing with Dory? Do I not? And or do I want to just kind of go full out with the agency? So that was like, you know, I'd only been in the agency maybe 4 months at that point, but I was already thinking that because I'd already, there are, you know, I very quickly got promoted up from being like the newbie to managing accounts, given me lots of responsibility because they trusted me to do, to manage these accounts, working on, you know, some fairly big names in the industry. Yeah, it was kind of when this seed started thinking, you know, getting planted. I also started making some really good relationships with the other people that worked in the agency. And I think that I that next went over to the US in May. So I ended up starting, like I did, I think I did a trip in May and a trip in June. So was spending more time over there as well. And obviously doing less with Dory. So I was doing less with Dory. I still had some clients there. A couple of them dropped off because, you know, we raised our prices and that just wasn't, you know, wasn't within their budget, which was, you know, totally fine. We totally expected that. So, and I wasn't basically taking on any new clients within Dory. So Miranda, really the most of 2017 was doing most of the work in Dory because I was kind of slowly doing more and more with them and less with Dory. And then it got to kind of August time. And then there was like about three conferences I was going to out in the US. So I think there was one in September, or there was a couple of events in September. There was one in October, and then there was going to be one in November. And at this stage, I'm thinking, maybe I could stay in the US for a few months. Like I really love it over there. I live in a beautiful place in Lenox Head, but it's a bit quiet for me. And after I've been there a couple of times, you know, a few times before, I'm like, oh, maybe I could do that. Maybe I could go out there. And obviously, like I have 8-year-old twins, well, they're like 7.5 at the time. Cam, their dad's an amazing dad, an amazing human. And I was like, well, maybe I could go out and then maybe they could come out for a bit on holiday. So, I started dreaming bigger, I guess, at that point, I think, and thinking, you know, what is possible for me? What can I achieve? What can I do? Like, why do I need to be here? Like, so those ideas started permeating. And so I went out in September, flew out in September. I actually wasn't intending to stay for 3 months at that point. I was thinking, okay, maybe we'll go for 6 weeks and come back. But I ended up staying for 3 months during that time. And a lot happened in that 3 months. Lots of life-changing things happened in that 3 months.
All right. So do you want to share with us some of the things that you feel comfortable sharing with about like the epiphanies and stuff you had while you were over there?
Sure. And so I'll preface this by saying that, so before I went out to, when I ended up staying there for 3 months, I was already earning about five times as much as I was running Dory.
Which is amazing, right? Like, whoa, that's so huge. But not unusual, right? Like,
no.
Often the people who are working for themselves are earning less than minimum wage. And for some reason, we have this really fucked up idea that everyone who works for themselves must be super wealthy and making a shitload of coin. But it's those people are quite rare and far between, particularly in service-based kind of jobs.
Yep, totally. Yeah. So, and I think that's like, it's important for me, or relevant for me to say that, because I was already, you know, I was already the main breadwinner in the family by this stage. So Cam and I had a discussion around, you know, who was going to be the main carer
primary
to the
parent.
Kids.
Yeah.
The main parent. And it was like, it's always been his dream to be the main parent and to look after the girls and then go surfing while I earn the money. So, you know, we'd had a discussion around that. So at that stage, he was already taking on most of the parenting duties while I earned the household income. So that's why, you know, in my head, there was already, well, you know, I could stay for 3 months and then they can come out for, you know, I'll bring them out for a holiday during that time. So it's not going to be like 3 months away from the kids. And then obviously just in terms of Dory, you know, I'm already thinking, well, like my earning potential is like, it's like I was, yeah, it was about five times more I was earning than what I had been with Dory. So there's also that going through my head. So I went out in September and had a couple of events, you know, like one in Seattle, one in LA. I ended up going down to Frank Kern's event in San Diego because I was there and it was great. And I was getting these opportunities because Ralph was like, oh, you know, I'm speaking at Frank Kern's event. Do you want to come? And I'm like, yes, because I'm here. And I just think, especially when you're like working with US clients, like Australia is great, but we miss out on a lot of stuff in terms of conferences and that ability to meet people, because ultimately, like, the meeting people in person is often where magic happens. Even though, like, Tier 11, which was Dominate Web Media, we're a fully virtual agency, we still know that there's a lot of magic in being there in person. So anyway, so I was out there going to a few conferences, thinking now, okay, I've got these different conferences that I want to go to. Do I want to come back? Also, when I'd flown over to the States in September, I'd got a little bit of crap from the official when I was going in. He's going, why have you been to the States like a few times? You know, you should have a different visa. So it was already in my head. I'm like, I don't know that I want to go back and then not be able to get back into the country. Because if you get refused entry at any point, then that's you for like 5 years. So I knew I could stay up to 3 months on my current visa. And so I was like, I don't know if I want to go back. Anyway, spoke to Cam. I was like, how's about you guys come out for a month in between? And then I'm going to stay this whole time. I've got lots of colleagues here. I've got some really good friends here. I'm happy here just now. And he's like, yep, that's fine. So we made a decision on that. And then not long after that, someone who I really trusted, a really good friend, made a comment to me about that I was being a bad mum for staying away from the kids for so long. Yep. Like, that was just like kick in the teeth, kick in the gut, kick everywhere.
Was there a part of you that had felt the twinge of mother's guilt?
Not well, yes and no. So the first 6 months of the year, when I'd kind of been going over and doing a bit more, zero guilt at all. I had twins. It's been so fucking hard, yeah. Like so hard. Because, you know, my parents live in Scotland and Cam's mum doesn't live close by. We lived out, weren't in town, we're fairly remote. So it'd been a tough, like, you know, 7 years or whatever. So initially, no. When I was going out just for the 3 month trip, just before I was leaving, I was like, oh, 3 months does seem like a long time. But it was only kind of when I'd had it booked that I was then thinking, that's maybe a bit long. But, you know, I knew they were in good hands, you know, the best hands ever. Anyway, so when this person's.
Yeah. I find it so interesting, right? Because that would not be generally something that would be said to a man.
I don't think it would ever be said to a man, would it? Would anyone ever say that to a man?
I don't think so.
No.
Which is fucking bullshit.
Total bullshit. I've had this conversation with, luckily, I did have people who were actually my really good friends, not this person who I thought was a really good friend, who rallied after me, and same thing. They're like, that's fucking bullshit. Nobody would ever say that to a man. You're neglecting your children by staying away in the mines for 3 months working. Like, you know, I wasn't on a fucking jolly. I was there still working my ass off. You know, if I was going to a conference, I would be getting up at 4 to make sure I had the client work done before I got to the conference. So it wasn't like I was just jollying around the country, la da da. So yeah, so this person said that to me, and that was just like, whoa. And obviously it made me like, put me on a total fucking low, but also made me really dive deep into myself as well, and kind of really came up with the realization that I think I'd actually had postnatal depression after having the twins, but I just never had the chance or even really verbalized it or even like accepted the notion. You know, I think there'd been on occasions where I thought, oh my God, like, is this what motherhood's meant to feel like? Like, you know, wasn't enjoying it. Like, I'd verbalized that to several friends, like, I don't like being a mom. I just hate it. I don't like it. But that really brought it to the forefront. And as I say, luckily I did have some really really good friends who helped coach me through that. And then I started realizing, just really analyzing how I had been showing up for them as a mum, and realizing that, like, certainly in 2017, I hadn't been showing up for them because I was, you know, focusing on this new role I had, which I loved. When I was with them, you know, wasn't like I was a crap mum or anything, like we had heaps of fun. But in terms of mothering, I wasn't being a really great mother in that sense. Traditional mother. Yes. Yep. So it really made me think about that and really evaluate how I wanted to show up for them as well. And so, you know, even though it was a fucking terrible, horrible thing, and the way the person said it as well was really awful, wasn't said in a caring way either. it, you know, you got to see, like, I'm grateful for that comment. Also, you know, I'm grateful for that, the nudge to start looking inside myself and to really evaluate how do I want to be shown up for them? I want to be shown up as a fucking badass that earns money, or not even that earns money, a fucking badass that's amazing at our job, that provides for the family. And they are fully aware of that's who I am. But I don't think I was being that for them. I was just being the workaholic, and they were coming in second. But, you know, they were with their amazing dad, and I knew that they were being well looked after. It was never, ever an issue of that they're being, you know, pandered around to anybody else. They were always with their dad. So that kind of was, you know, a bit of my own eat, love, pray adventure out in Los Angeles and San Diego. And luckily, you know, came through it. And like now, like my relationship with them is just so much better. It really is, because I've acknowledged that I don't have to be a certain way. There's no right or wrong way to be a mum. As long as you love your kids, which I've always done.
Does. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and as
to
long
the best
as
of your abilities, exactly. In each time and space.
That's right. And you know, if your kids are, you know, we live in Lennox Head. If you live in Lennox Head, you're instantly like luckier than probably 95% of the children in the world, just living in this amazing place. And the fact that we have a beautiful house over our head, and you know, all those things, and they're well cared for. But it's certainly like my relationship with them is so much better, and I'm much more able now to see when I'm not showing up for them in the way that I want to be. But yeah, they know, like, mummy's in here, if the door's shut, mummy's on a call, they know that mummy's earning and providing for the family and working her ass off, and they're fully aware of that. And, you know, Cam's still, you know, the main carer, and like, you know, takes them to school and does all that kind of stuff, does all the lunchies and does most of the cooking and things like that. So
yeah. And do you feel like the last, whatever it's been, year or so, because I've noticed there's been a difference in your openness, I would say. Like, it's like a door to spirituality was opened during that period, which
yep,
I don't definitely. Know that it was before.
Yep, totally. I even bought a fucking crystal yesterday. That's the first crystal
classic.
I bought in my life.
And you would have called bullshit on that.
Woo, crap.
So what changed there? Well, do you think it was the realization? Because for me, that was, you know, my diagnosis of depression was the thing that sent me on my personal spiritual quest. I don't know, like, I don't even know that it's, for me, it's about connection to, you know, connection to myself first, and connection to whatever the thing is. I don't even know what the thing is. What are you like? What has been your, I guess, key spiritual learnings over the past year?
Yeah. So being true to me is one big thing, and not being so swayed by other people's opinions and other people's what they think's right and wrong. You know, it sounds weird for me. It might sound weird for me to be saying that, but yeah, I hadn't been true to myself and what I knew was right and wrong for a while, I guess. So that, it really brought that out in me. Also, in that kind of within a month of all that happening, I actually I went to Bulletproof Conference. So
like the coffee.
That was, yeah, well, it's not just the coffee, it's a lifestyle.
Right.
And that was a kind of a last minute thing. One of my good friends was going, and she was like, why don't you just come? It was in Pasadena, just outside LA. And I was like, okay. And that for me as well was life changing, that conference. It was the best conference I've ever been to. And so the whole thing of Bulletproof is like, you know, living your best life, how to, yeah, mentally, physically, spiritually, just. And it was full of most of them were entrepreneurs that were there, but they were all entrepreneurs that were there to live a badass life. And they had some amazing speakers, and there was three things that every single speaker said. And it really, really stuck with me. And it was for being like the best version of you. Daily movement was one. So just getting up and walking, even if it doesn't have to be full on exercise, just get up and walk. Practice gratitude every day and eat whole foods. So simple. It's so simple, but every one of them said that. And that really just, it really resonated at that moment in time. Like, I was feeling quite broken. And a couple of the speakers in particular, Jim Quick was one who talked about post-traumatic growth as opposed to post-traumatic stress. And that's really resonated. So a lot of that stuff was just, it's what I needed to hear at that moment in time. And so, you know, ever since then, like, I meditate every day. I have my gratitude diary that I write in every day.
Like such a 180 from who you were before. Totally.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, I'm still not fully embraced the woo.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still think some things is a bit woo, but I'm certainly, a lot, you're right, a lot more open and just a lot more open to things that we don't fully understand, and like the power of positive thinking and to, you know, just surrounding yourself with decent people, which I was surrounded by decent people generally, but clearly picked a few not so decent ones.
Yeah. The people around us reflect who we are at any certain given time and space, for sure. So cool. For those who are in this space, like, your whole world really has opened up through you saying yes to an opportunity that you could have passed up due to a feeling of sense, a sense of duty or obligation, but you said yes to something. And I imagine the imposter syndrome was rockin' strong, when you were going through this process. Like, what would your advice be to the person who knows they're kind of here for something more but isn't really sure about what that is and how it looks like?
Yeah, I guess it's like making yourself open to new opportunities, and it sounds naff, but not even dreaming bigger, just that thinking of possibilities, thinking of like what could be possible for me. And really that's where I always struggled, but then when this opportunity arose, that's kind of when I started, you know, what could be possible. And also being honest about what you really want to be doing. And if, you know, as you say with Miranda, I could have like just completely said no straight up, but I was honest with her and she was straight away, she was like, this is an amazing opportunity, you have to take it. Like, you know, there was no question from her either. And I guess also don't assume what something's going to look like or what other people are going to say if you make a decision. And
yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because so often we do that, right? Like, we don't share what we really want because we're afraid of upsetting the apple cart, triggering them, hurting their feelings. Them being triggered by your success. You know, there's so many reasons that we don't share our truth. But then also it sounds like back then you didn't really have an understanding of what was possible. You just took a chance. You saw an opportunity and you threw your hat in the ring.
Yep.
And then made decisions based on that.
Yep. Got fully in the ring and started playing bigger. And I think so many of us we don't jump in because we're all scared. That fear comes in, and fear of something new and, you know, what's going to happen. And but I guess at some point to play a different game, you have to do something different.
Yeah. And for me, over the past year or whatever, you've really thrown yourself all into things where before perhaps you were playing things a little safe. And that takes an incredible amount of bravery and guts.
Yeah. I feel braver and stronger. Definitely. And that whole like post-traumatic growth thing, like for whatever. And I think as well, like people downplay what trauma is. Like, you know, trauma doesn't have to be like, you know, like sexual abuse or physical abuse or something like that. Emotional trauma can be as powerful as anything physical that's happening to you. And so like when you go through this kind of trauma. Like, I think we downplay, oh, you know, something, totally. Someone just said something nasty to me.
You know, I grew up in a good family, so I don't really have any trauma. Bullshit. We all do. There's times where your parents said, shut up. Or, I mean, we've done it as fucking parents, I'm sure. Totally. You know, totally. And I haven't really thought about the consequences of that. But that they are traumas, you know, like you don't know what you're talking about or whatever. Those kind of stories add up and they're like a bunch of mini traumas that end up being like a big gaping wound. But the danger is that they're so minute at the time, collectively, they're worse than just, you know, someone chopping your heads clean off your neck.
Mm, yeah. And I think we tend to play them down as a society. But don't be afraid to think, you know, that was trauma. Like that was, you know, mental trauma that I went through. And like, how do you come out the other side of it? And that definitely played a huge role in where I am now.
Yeah. Like, so how do you think you come out the other side of that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of doing the work on yourself, and you know, like read like Brené Brown had just released Brave in the Wilderness, and like read that, I'm like, oh my god, that got me through like the first week, just being open. And you know, luckily I had a really great friend who I was able to just be completely open with and vulnerable. Another big thing is just accepting that vulnerability is not a weakness. That's one big thing I got from that book, like that it's so much better to be vulnerable than to put up these walls and to be like, I'm fine. But it's, you know, it's not that I needed to be a blubbering wreck, but it's just like, hey, I'm like,
yeah, but you need to be able to honor how you feel without judgment. And so many of us don't. For me too, that was my breakthrough, was instead of having the mask up all the time, just pulling the mask down and not worrying about what people thought about me. Yes, you know, I'm crying. Get the fuck over it. You know, yeah, like,
that's right. That's
you
fine.
Know, yeah, it's fine for me to cry. And I don't need people to step in and fix me. Just allow me to feel. But then also being able to have boundaries around that too, right? So it's like, I can understand that you want the best for me, but this is how I'm feeling right now. And I'm going to honor that regardless of whether this makes you feel uncomfortable, which is also another level of bravery and vulnerability too, right? Because we are taught not only with the trauma thing, you know, little traumas don't really count, or, you know, it has to be some huge, hideous thing for it to be relevant. Same goes for bravery and vulnerability. You know, it happens in small little ways that collectively make a huge difference in your life.
Yeah.
So what's next for you?
What's next? Cool. So I guess to round out the Dory story. So I got back beginning of December. So that was after 3 months away. And at that point, I think I had two clients left that I was running in Dory, and really hadn't done anything else in Dory over that year. Had really put, certainly the last 6 months of last year. And so Miranda and I chatted, and she was like, you know, what do you want to be doing? And I was like, I don't want to be doing Dory anymore. Really, like, I want to work with these guys. That's where my focus is. That's what I really want to be doing. So we decided, that we were going to not be Dory anymore. So we came to an agreement around the assets that we had. So there wasn't a lot of financial assets left in the business, but obviously, you know, we had the email list, Facebook page, Instagram page, that kind of thing. So it was basically, right, well, I don't see any, that I'm going to have any immediate need for any of that stuff. So you keep that, Miranda, you can have the assets. I've kept the business name because it's just easier for me from, like, you know, a work standpoint to have the company and to run things through the business. I've still got one client that I had that I've had for 3 years, and I'm quite happy to keep that one client on. So the other client dropped off. So I've got this one client that I run through Dory, and then everything, really my full-time job now is with the agency, who are now tier 11. And they just recently promoted me to their account director, which is a new position. So one of my jobs, so I still actively run accounts. I still have my own accounts, but now I'm responsible for all the accounts in the agency and making sure that the health of all accounts is good. And I've got four people reporting to me directly reporting to me now, who I coach and make sure that they're, you know, coach them up to get more experienced as account managers within the agency. So
yeah, it sounds like, I just wrote down the words, realize your potential. Like sometimes it does take working for someone else for them to see and show your potential so you can realize it. And it sounds like that's what's kind of happened with you through Dominate and now Tier 11 is like that you couldn't necessarily see your own potential, but they certainly could, and they've developed that in you, which makes you realize your potential. It doesn't matter whether it happens with you working for someone else or you working for yourself. If you can realize it on your own, go for it. And if you can't, there's absolutely no shame in working for someone else who can bring that out in you.
That's right. And I think, you know, as you said at the beginning, as entrepreneurs, we think, oh, you know, we have to have our own thing. And who wants to go back and work for someone else and have a job? And I'm like, I have the best job in the world. Like I get to.
Without all the bullshit that goes along with it.
No, like I get to work with these amazing people. I get like to brainstorm with some of the smartest Facebook ad account managers in the world, really. Like we get on calls and brainstorm with each other. And even though I'm sitting in, you know, I get to work from home. So like if I do need to go to my kids' Easter hat parade, which I did last week, I get to go and do it. And, you know, I get to go for their shared lunch on Friday. Yes, do I work crazy hours sometimes? Yes, because most of my clients are in the US and I have a regular 2 a.m. call every Wednesday. I have a regular 3 a.m. call every Tuesday, but I'm in bed by 8. You know, the kids know, mum's going to bed early because she gets up early for meetings, and that's fine. And I get to manage my own time, and, you know, I get to work with amazing people and I get paid well for it. So,
and I think that's the key, right? Knowing what works for you. Not what should work for you, not what, you know, not fitting into that box of this is the way life as an entrepreneur should be. Because too often I see people get stuck in that box.
Yep. I mean, I still feel like I'm an entrepreneur doing my thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't feel like I'm like, you know, like working in a job. It doesn't feel like a job. It feels like I'm still forging my own way, because we are, as an agency, we're still figuring out, how do we make this work? How, you know, what should this process look like? How should we do this? How should, you know, and I get a direct say, you know, in developing those processes as well, and helping other people, and how we, you know, how can we manage these ads better? What new things should we be trying? How should we test it? How should we report it? All that kind of stuff. So like,
And that is often so much more fun to do in the company of others. You know, the solopreneur journey thing is at times lonely as fuck, and everything comes down on you. The success of your business is 100% your responsibility. Sometimes it's nice not to have that heavy burden.
Yeah.
And that's where you can flourish, you know?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So that's, you know, for me, like I'm definitely in my happy place. I'm definitely in a very happy place right now.
Cool. Good to hear. Go right in your gratitude journal.
Yes. Got it here.
Yoni eggs might be next. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about that. Let's not go too far, Carly.
Yeah. Okay. The crystals are enough for now. We'll just ease you into the yoni stuff. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
You're welcome. It's been an absolute pleasure.
The end. Thanks for coming. See you next week. And in the meantime, I would love you to join my Show Up Speak Up community in Facebook or connect with me on Instagram at Carlosophies. Until next week. Peace out.